Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Dr. Bryce Edwards on the line with us to talk politics. Hello, Bryce.
I love that last track. That was my generation. That's great.
It's a good track, isn't it? Hey, what are we going to talk about first today? Let's talk about China. Let's talk about the China. The China. And yesterday we had a representative in some magazine in China saying, "Look, what we've got to do is just get along." As what came out of China yesterday. And it's like, well, hang on, sneaky software, you know?
Yes. And anything that diplomats say have to be taken with a huge grain of salt, you know. They're always trying to suggest something without really saying it. And the Chinese are particularly guilty of this sort of diplomacies whereby, you know, there's kind of coded things being said.
Well, I mean, in the last week we've heard that the tourism is rapidly declining from China all of a sudden, that our students... Our foreign students, there's been a sudden decrease in Chinese students wanting to study in New Zealand, and now we've just got to get along. It's pretty rapid propaganda, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And behind the scenes, there really is some big stuff being pushed around. And it's not really surprising either, because China do feel pissed off. I mean, let's face it, New Zealand has majorly, you know, reorientated our relationship over the last year away from China and towards the US, and it's really down to,
I guess,
not just one man, just Winston Peters, but it's down to New Zealand First in government. They really aren't so keen on this Chinese relationship, and they want to take us back to, you know, the traditional ways of, you know, a closer relationship with the US, and that really is pissing off the Chinese.
The Huawei thing's a big part of it, though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's part of it, because we're seeing globally this, you know, growing trade war, which could escalate into something worse between the US and China, and so the US wants its friends to stop buying Huawei. And we're not just talking about the mobile phones, we're talking about the infrastructure whereby countries build, you know, their whole telecommunications infrastructure using this new advanced technology, and Huawei's leading that, and the US say, we don't like this. There's suspicions they don't like it just because it's Chinese and that they're in a technological kind of war with Chinese, but they also suspect, or they suspect, that the Huawei technology might be used
maliciously
for spying.
Yeah.
And it's unclear. No, there's been a lot written about this, and it's hard to see whether there's, you know, real evidence there or not. But certainly, they are turning the screws on. That's the US are turning the screws on their friends, saying, "Do not let Huawei, you know, technology overrun the country." And it seems so far that New Zealand has gone along with that, and they have the GCSB have looked at Huawei and said, "No, we don't believe."
From what I can gather, it's just one. Obviously a senior member, but one member of the GCSB was his recommendation. And so, I mean, it's caused all sorts of drama, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the recommendation, because it's actually a piece of law that says that recommendation actually carries weight. So I think the government, in reality, will have the final sign-off whether to ban Huawei. But at this stage, you know, they haven't really made a final decision.
Prime Minister keeps saying it's fine, though, Bryce.
Who says it's fine?
Prime Minister says our relationship with China's fine and everything's sweet. Well, it's just sweet. It's sweet, man.
Well, you've got to feel a bit sorry for the Prime Minister, because she has to say that. And there's no doubt that this is a crisis for them at the moment. But they have to come out and say, no, everything's fine. She can't really tell us what's going on behind the scenes, that they are totally stressed out about it. And they will be, especially because, like I say, Winston Peters is really... I think is the one that's made the mistake here. Well, not necessarily a mistake, because he's wanting to do this.
Yeah.
He's wanting to reorientate New Zealand away from China. And so you remember last year, Ron Mark, you know, because he's the defence minister, he got cabinet to agree to spend $2.3 billion buying some new planes that are specifically designed to be able to bomb Chinese submarines. And so the Chinese went...
Really? Is that what those planes were for? They were expensive planes.
Really expensive planes, yeah. And they're specially designed, yeah, to hunt subs. And the Chinese saw that as being quite aggressive. And at the same time, Winston Peters went to Washington, gave a speech saying, please, Americans, come back into the Pacific, because basically we're being overrun by the Chinese. I'm caricaturing this, of course.
Yeah.
He didn't say those words. And again, that alarmed the Chinese. And so they are basically pushing back now. And they're saying, well, if you don't like us, perhaps we won't send so many tourists. Perhaps we will turn your.
And the thing is, they do when you say send so many tourists, it is a wee bit like that too, because they have much more power over who's allowed out of the country,
yeah.
and permission to go where and that sort of stuff. Than we.
And the Chinese also have this habit. I mean, other countries do this too, but China's particularly inclined to suddenly follow the rules of the book. With countries they don't like. So, yes, when an Air New Zealand plane is travelling to China and suddenly it's discovered that there's a mention of the country of Taiwan in their paperwork, which they don't allow, they will say, well, that's the rules, you can't come in because you've got the wrong word.
Yeah.
Whereas previously, that might have happened and China would have said, oh, well, your friends, we'll overlook this, or we'll let you fix the paperwork, while the flight's occurring. That hasn't happened. So things like that will keep happening, I believe.
Why don't we just spy on them while they spy on us like we have been the whole time?
Yeah, I know. And that's kind of the funny thing about all this. I mean, Nikki Haga had some really important revelations about 2 years ago about how we do actually spy on the Chinese, and we use a lot of Pacific infrastructure for spying on other countries. Everyone's guilty of this. There's lots of spying going on.
Right. Today at midday, the tax working group released their recommendations. It's a big deal for a lot of people, isn't it? This is will there be a capital gain tax? Will New Zealanders support a capital gain tax if there is one? And what other sneaky taxes might pop up in this recommendation, do you think?
Yes. So of course, this has been a big battle over the last few years, because in general, parties of the left believe in that there should be more taxation of businesses, of big assets, because at the moment they pretty much get off scot-free. If you go out to work, you have to pay your tax.
Yep.
If you're a business and you make profits, you pay tax. But if your assets increase in value significantly, you're not necessarily having to pay, even though you might be making a lot of money out of this house going up in value or your business going up, you don't have to pay tax on that, whereas you do in most other equivalent countries to New Zealand.
What about stuff like money trading? Does that come with capital gains?
I don't think so. But geez,
because we trade a lot. We trade a huge amount of money every day.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure. But
yeah.
I mean, the left really wanted to fix the situation over recent years, and but there's a lot of pushback because people don't like more taxes.
Tell you what, I listened to a bit of a talkback on the talkback, and which is so dramatically right wing at the moment, it's doing my head in. Man, a lot of greedy people out there.
Absolutely.
The people that are having the biggest crybaby whinge about this capital gain tax coming in are people who think that they just, I don't, like having a big cry about this government, no chance to get a second term. It's so telling, It's like, maybe I'm naive, Bryce.
Well, I mean, people are always going to follow their own self-interest, especially around economic
impact. Yeah, especially at the moment.
But what's interesting is that I don't think this capital gains tax is actually going to be the big scary monster that many on the right think it will be. I mean, for a start, it's going to exclude the family home. So, the biggest area of, these people ringing up on TalkBack, that's the one that they're probably most worried about, is the fact that their house has gone from being $500,000 to being $2 million.
Yeah, but their rental's not worth as much anymore, see?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but that is actually going to be excluded. There'll be a carve-out for that in this proposal today. So I don't know how many people are actually going to be badly affected by this. Yes, I think it is going to be the rich more than the poor that are going to be pinged on a capital gains tax, but it's going to be more at the upper end than just your average sort of property speculator.
All right. Now, what about right-wing ballooning of opinions? Jordan Peterson's in town.
Oh, isn't it great?
What are your thoughts about Jordan Peterson?
Oh, I mean, I think like most people, I find a lot to disagree with him on.
Yeah, I like a few things he says. Some stuff, I think there's good reasoning to some of the stuff he says, but there's a lot of stuff that's just stuff he says. And it amazes me that people are so scared about him just letting him talk.
Exactly. So I think it's great to have intellectuals that are cool again, academics who are being able to charge lots of money to hear them speak. And yes, people are getting upset about it because really he represents one side of this growing culture war that we're seeing in the West and in New Zealand at the moment. And, so over recent years, there's been a big change in our politics with a lot more weight being put on issues around gender, ethnicity, social justice, and, changing the way that we think and talk about, privilege. And so he represents the other side of that coin, where he's pushing back on that. And for a lot of people, that's fantastic. Suddenly they're hearing someone say, hey, masculinity is great. He's saying, let's encourage our young men to be masculine and let's not tell them off for being masculine. So that's basically what it comes down to in my view. It's him saying those sort of words that resonate with people that aren't used to hearing that, but also scare other people who think it's kind of a major challenge to this new kind of hegemony of more woke politics, I guess.
And I guess it's nice when you can't be asked doing the research yourself to be able to just to be able to follow someone who has done the research, and come up with opinions, it just blows me away that people are so freaked out about it, though.
Yeah, it's quite polarizing. So he's got his real fan base and people who think he's the Messiah, and then there's people that think he's the Führer, and he's neither of those things, obviously. He's just an academic with some kooky ideas, and
he's running an all meat diet at the moment.
Yeah, and that should send alarm signals. Absolutely.
Why, Bryce? Why?
Oh, I don't know. yes, he's eccentric. Let's say that about him.
Yeah.
And but I think we need more eccentrics, and we shouldn't be just closing them down and thinking, they're scary.
I think he'd be a great dinner party guest.
Well, I don't know if you'd want
I mean, you want anything finished up before you started talking, but have the opportunity to bail. But the I don't know. I think more. It's good to have someone who anyone who backs their views is worth having a listen to, and then you make up your own mind because you're a brainy human being yourself and do your own thinking, don't you think, Bryce?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. But what's interesting is that he has such resonance. Like, people are so either loving him or hating him in New Zealand because he hasn't actually managed to create this much publicity in other countries.
Really?
So his book is selling very well in New Zealand, apparently. And, I mean, he's not as popular as he is in Canada, his own country, but I think this is probably, the next biggest place for him, per capita, in terms of...
What's the difference between him and Lawrence Southern and Stephane Molyneux, who were here earlier?
I mean, those other Canadians...
straight-out racists.
They were incredibly reactionary, incredibly racist. And when some people talked about them as being fascist, I thought, well, that's possibly quite correct. Whereas it's a bit crazy to call Peterson a fascist. I'm not even sure he's alt-right. He's certainly conservative and right-wing. And, but I think that's the best label for him, actually, is conservative. He has very traditional ideas.
All right, well, let's look forward to this tax working group recommendation announcement at midday today, Bryce. Let's look forward to being spied on by China and hearing what Jordan Peterson's got to say at his talk. Thank you very much, my friend.
Okay. Cheers.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.